This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
I just wonder about Brandon Cooks. If money's a little tighter this year than it should be, or ought to be, but if it just is, for whatever reason, and you've got to re-sign Nate Solder, or you want to bring in Richard Sherman, or Aqib Talib, or you wanted to bring in Bennett, and money has to go, is Cook someone you would trade? Would you trade Brandon Cooks for a high second? Again, you sent the 32nd pick to go get him. So you sent the last pick in the first round. One of the proposed trades I read was the Bears' second. The Bears are picking...
eighth.
Okay, so the...
number 40.
40. Would you trade Cooks for the 40th pick? It's only a loss of eight spots. It's not what you're looking for. But you clear the money, you get a pick at least in range of what you gave up, and you have now the money to re-sign Nate Solder. Would you get rid of Brandon Cooks if that's what it would take to sign Nate Solder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just one of the things we're talking about, folks. Back to you, as promised. Tim in the car. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. Listen, I got a question about the Patriots. Just on all the decisions they've been making lately, I'm concerned about free agency. Just like Murray, I'm pissed off we weren't in on Marcus Peters. I'm sad to see Robert Quinn go to Miami. I'm baffled by his signing. I'm curious to hear what you guys have.
Your phone keeps breaking up. Should they be in a big spend, win now, go get the guy kind of mode?
Yeah.
Yes.
Will they be?
Not entirely.
Probably not.
No, but you know what? They might be a little bit. Like, and so, for example, Sherman to me feels like a solution that addresses everybody's needs.
See, I think they are. I think they are, and I think they will be.
Okay. So, but in the case of Sherman, I think they can get Sherman and not give up a lot. Whether in terms of money or, you know, a trade or whatever. So to me, it's going to be that kind of line that they walk. But are they going to, you know, are they just going to bring in schmoes, Shea McClellans and Kyle Van Noy? And no.
I mean, look, the left corner spot is a good litmus test. Are you going to go into next year with Cyrus Jones or Jonathan Jones or Johnson Batamosi? Or are you going to go get Talib, Sherman, Josh Norman, if he shakes free, you know, what are you going to do there? There are players there. And I think that'll tell you. Like that position alone, that'll tell you.
See, what I'm worried about there is that they think Eric Rowe can play it. That's what I'm worried. Or they move Gilmore there and play Rowe on the right side. That's what I'm worried about.
Steve in Ohio. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I had a suggestion. I want to get your take on it. In the event that the Pats can't retain Solder, what do you think about the possibility of inquiring about Joe Thomas of the Browns? He's contemplating retirement right now, getting into broadcasting. He's not certain about his future, but I think an opportunity to win a ring might entice him to come back, and I think the price could be a pick next year because the Browns have 11 picks this year. It wouldn't really cost him anything this year, second or third next year for Thomas. What do you think?
Sure. You know, I don't watch a lot of Browns football. I don't know what he's got left. But if he's got something left, 1 year, sure, that would be a nice little fill-in. What's his contract? What's his situation?
So he's got 1 year left at 10.3. But didn't he have a season-ending injury at the end of last year? Remember that?
I don't remember. But let's just say he's healthy. Let's just go on that, again, premise. Would you rather pay $10 million for Nate Solder or $10 million for Joe Thomas?
Joe Thomas.
No, Nate Solder for me, because it's about continuity on the offensive line. Again, not sexy to talk about, but I want Solder.
Thomas is a better player, and he has been over the balance of his career. But at this stage, 1 year to go, playing out the string, I think I'd rather have Nate Solder back.
Okay, I'll take the better player. I mean, to me, I'll take the better player every single time.
Carlton in Tampa. Hi, Carlton in Tampa. What do you got for us today?
Bill Belichick is a dead man walking, and you guys haven't figured it out yet. His whole team revolted against him when they tried to smear Malcolm Butler with being, you know, late for curfew, poor practices, altercations with coaches, weed use, everything else, all the other pieces of crap that came out of Foxborough on that Monday and Tuesday after the Super Bowl. And all the Patriots players decided to chime in and support Malcolm Butler on social media, and Kraft effectively fired Belichick, which is why McDaniels did the 180-degree turn. It's why they don't have a new defensive coordinator. Guess who's going to be able to name him? McDaniels is. That's the whole shooting match, guys, and you don't see it yet. Maybe Bill next year can go back to the Cleveland Browns and see if he can get his 8 games under 500 losing record with the Browns turned around somehow, because Jackson will get fired if he can't turn that ship around this year.
There's Carlton still riding the high from the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
It's been a little while.
You can't see the forest from the trees. He's a dead man walking like a zombie.
I'm referencing the Cranberries. But
the point he makes about the support for Butler, it is telling. I mean, again, all those rumors that came out, you know, well, it had to have been, so he had to have been smoking weed, missing curfew, he hit a coach, it had to have been something, right? Again, trying to make up for Belichick's bad judgment. And if Butler was doing even a half of those things, a tenth of those things, would he get any support among the players?
No.
No.
They would run from him. See, like they would say, dude, you cost us a Super Bowl.
Brady couldn't have liked that Instagram post where he said goodbye fast enough.
Instead, when he posts a thing that says, I did nothing wrong, players and prominent players could not have jumped to his defense quicker.
They lined up behind a Brady Gronk Hightower.
I just think that was really telling.
Oh, absolutely.
Just the support in and of itself. Rich in Billerica. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I want to comment on Brady and the future of the team. Now, I feel like Belichick, it depends on him a lot. If he hangs around and don't bail out, which I think he, I don't know if Brady deserves it or more, I don't know, but either who. If his mobility is taken care of with some, you know, protection, and they advance the running game, and they have the coaching staff to, you know, run the plays around him and organize the team plays around him, he has a smarts because that will never go. He's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league. He doesn't need. He's one of the only quarterbacks, if not the only quarterback in the
Rich,
league.
But go ahead. What's the bottom line?
Bottom line is, I think Brady can hang around for 4 or 5 years, not 2 or 3.
Okay, I got him at least 3. At least. Has to.
Okay, but again, has to and how long he'll play well for are two different things. Where I'm getting irritated is like, surround Brady with the running game. The offense wasn't the problem.
33 points, they never punted in the last game of the year. The offense was fine.
The offense wasn't the problem. Fix the defense, for crying out loud. And in terms of Belichick's investment in it, to me, this is where the Garoppolo thing comes into play. Like, Bill's investment in the future was the quarterback. That was his investment. So to me, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Belichick's out. He's out. Emotionally, he's out, I think. And so does that worry me in terms of how he's invested for the current year? Sure, absolutely it does. But I can't see him wanting to like go through a 3-year process again of drafting and developing the next guy. And that's if he picks him right.
617-779-0985. Jamie and Clinton. There's a couple open lines if you want to grab them, folks. Jamie and Clinton. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you were talking about why Belichick doesn't shop players around. Does that just show it's a bad setup to have your head coach and your GM be the same person? Does he not have the time to do both jobs?
No. It's bad if your GM sucks, which Bill doesn't. But, you know, I Jamie, if you have someone qualified, he has to have control, and you want to give him the freedom. So, like, that's a double-edged sword. Now, what if that guy starts to make bad decisions? What if he starts to, his motivations get out of whack, or, you know, something gets in the way?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? But, like, I don't, like, no, Bill has control. He should have control. But if he starts making bad decisions, then you take it away. Like, that's the whole point of it.
Sure.
And Bill's definitely not at that spot. He'll never be at that spot. But, however, I do wonder, you know, again, the thing Curran wrote, you know, is there any blowback there? And just the way they handled the trades, you know, I always meant to circle back to this when Jay Glazer told us this at the Super Bowl, that's how, when we asked about the Garoppolo thing and why he didn't call around the league, Jay said he didn't call around about Chandler Jones either. He doesn't call around the league. He doesn't. And Jay said, I know this because the Arizona people came to me and said, does Chandler Jones have some of the same problems as his brother? Because, you know, Jay Glazer's obviously big in the MMA and the Bellator and all that, so he knows all that crap. And so he talked to the Cardinals about it, and the Cardinals like, we have a chance to trade for this guy. He's not available to anyone. You know, and Jay knew that Bill only called the Cardinals. And Jay said, well, this is just what they do. Bill doesn't want other people knowing their business, and he finds a place that he wants to send a guy, a player, and a person that he wants to deal with, meaning an executive or a team, and he just sends them. And if he doesn't get max value, he doesn't get max value, but that's just the way Bill does it and the way he's always done it. Which I was always saying, great, that's great insight, Jay, but that's stupid. That's dumb.
You can easily second guess that one now, too. That was Jonathan Cooper, who never played and is out of the league.
And a second.
No, I thought it was a third and a fifth. Or it was a second that they ended up trading down to a third and a fifth. Became Tooney and Mitchell.
It's some bum offensive lineman who never played and a second. For a guy who just had 17 and a half sacks and led the league in sacks.
And 11 the year before.
Did they market Chandler Jones?
Ugh.
No, they didn't. They got less than they should have on that deal.
And again, so what is that? And I sit on the psychologist's couch, and I say, that's Bill. If Bill calls around and says, you want this guy, and starts calling other teams, he looks vulnerable or like he's not in he's not even
not in control.
And it's like, it's just an ego thing. And that's like, so.
See, to me, that's the part that worries me is the.
That doesn't sit well.
It shouldn't sit well. Because there are some things that are acceptable in terms of making a bad move. If you misevaluate a player, it happens. Everyone misevaluates players.
Right.
It happens. Now, you want to hit more, as many times as you miss, or more so. And I would say overall as an evaluator, I mean, I don't know if there's a ton to pick at with Belichick as an evaluator.
It's very, very good.
But it's the motivation for the deals and the return that should concern you. And so, look, it depends on the person. Like, you know, I would tell you that Pete Carroll is working with a GM out there in Seattle, and it feels like they were able to identify the right people that they wanted for the most part. So, fine, that one works. Belichick, for his most part, has to be doing it on his own. But that whole thing last year, the whole offseason, when you really look at that, trading away all those draft picks after having traded away some of the guys that they had drafted and developed, like, that is borderline reckless when you really weigh it out to put that much stock into one season and not have someone there to say, slow down, are you sure you want to do it this way? That is a little out of whack.
Okay, Maz has another developing opinion on your tight end, Rob Gronkowski. Maz, with that, right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blood force drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Maz.
Who cares?
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Rob Gronkowski, what's your thoughts there, pal?
So as we all know, you are a Packers fan, correct?
Sure.
Longtime Packers fan. You're part owner of the team.
Born and bred, you bet.
Okay, and it was a rite of spring with the Packers, for crying out loud, when Brett Favre would decide whether or not he was going to play the next season and had to brainstorm and powwow with whoever he powwows with and decide whether he was going to play the next year, right?
It's painful. Held that franchise hostage for half a decade.
So how did you feel about it?
I grew to hate him.
Hated it.
Grew to hate him.
Hated it. And we went through it here a little bit with the Celtics with Doc Rivers. It became like this annual thing at the end of every season. I don't know if I'm going to come back. I do this every year. And the Celtics get tired of it. Eventually, at the end, we all get tired of it. And we all generally respected and liked Rivers. But it really got kind of annoying, frankly. So why aren't we feeling the same way about Gronk? Like, I started to think about this morning. And I was in my car, and I heard someone talking about Gronkowski. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm getting tired of this. I'm getting tired of waiting to hear whether Gronk wants to play or not. And so what is it? Poop or get off the pot, pal? One way or the other. Holding the franchise hostage isn't going to do anybody any good. And if you want to hold out, hold out. Fine. But tell them that you're playing and then hold out. Like, this idea that, you know, you're going to throw everything into a state of chaos is selfish, frankly. And you know what? When I think about it, it feels like there's a lot of that going on down there lately. Too many we were talking about this yesterday. Too many players who are starting to worry more about their contracts and less about winning. And the Patriot culture was always built on thinking of the group and thinking about winning more than it was about your contract. So I don't know how we get to the stage where Gronk became exempt from this sort of criticism. But you know what? Are you playing or not?
Do you think Gronk deserves more money?
Yes.
What if the team's not giving it to him?
Then hold out.
Well, aren't you yelling at him for holding? I mean, isn't that basically what he's doing?
I don't. But this whole retirement thing.
You want a more definitive answer.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so.
If you're going to retire, retire.
So you're saying, I'm playing. I'm just not playing for that contract.
Correct.
And so then that's on the table. Officially, I'm still an NFL player, just not for you at that money.
Right. And look, maybe that is what's going on the inside. I doubt it. But I just feel like this whole thing of I might retire. Oh, God, shut up already. Either retire or play. One or the other. You're unhappy with your contract, then get to work on it and figure it out.
So you're not unhappy with the holdout. You're unhappy with, am I walking away or not?
Yes, in that league, you have to hold out to get money sometimes. That's part of the deal. But this whole drama about retirement, if you're not serious about it, then put it away or retire. One or the other.
The vagueness has been pretty annoying. It has gotten to the point. It's like, okay, this is about money. This is about the contract, right? Like, so, can we all agree with that?
Look, at first I thought it was not, but now I have to believe that because if he was going to retire, just do it already, fella.
Yeah.
WrestleMania is in a month. Just go do it. If you're doing it, go do it. So apparently, you know, it is just a ploy, which again, is his right. It's his leverage point to do it. But yeah, right. So I do think it's just about money, Mark.
So he is deserving, though, to me, of, you know, getting the kind of money that some of the top wide receivers are getting. So just say that. Say that's what it's about. Because if he was going to retire, I think we would have already heard that.
What if his best leverage, though, Maz, is to threaten retirement? Like, you know, at the negotiating table, the only way he gets the Patriots to move is if he threatens to quit.
Okay, but he got him to move last year, didn't he?
He did. It was a different spot. He was only making five. You know, now he's making 9-10. He's the highest paid. They were going over it on Beadle and Zoe earlier. He's the highest paid tight end in the game this year. Not on an average annual value, but when you talk about the money being made this season, he's making the most money of any tight end in the league and has the highest cap hit of any tight end in the league this year.
Okay, you know what, though? I still don't like the public nature of the whole thing. And the fact that this broke at the Super Bowl, and I told you this at the time, too, that bugged the crap out of me.
Well, Gronk's up on game day.
Yes. Gronk's at the podium after the game, and all of a sudden he says...
Well, no. It started during the day.
The news came out during the day, but he didn't talk about it until after the game.
But the point is, his camp started floating it during the day.
Yes.
So he did kind of release it during the day.
It was during the afternoon of that day.
Yes.
That is correct. And so, but I'm saying he gets up there after the game. He's asked about it, and he says, well, geez, you know, I don't know where you heard that, but you know damn well where he heard it.
You.
Exactly. Or your agent, your camp. Because the whole thing was contrived. That's what it was. You wanted the whole football world to know the night of the Super Bowl after the game that you were contemplating retirement because you were already on to the next contract. That's what it was. And so I would say this. If you want to retire, retire. Retire. I get all the respect in the world for you if you walk and do that. If you're using it for some sort of contract play... Oh, good God, already make a decision. Shut up. I'm tired of hearing about the retirement. If you're going to retire, retire. And don't tell me you need more time to think about it. Because if you were dissatisfied or unhappy in training camp of last year, then you've had months to think about it. You know whether you want to retire or not. Stop playing this stupid game. If it's about your contract, get on the phone with the team and figure it out. And then either retire or not. Because the league year starts in a week. And I look at that and say, you know, decisions have to be made, and he is a hard guy to sort of plan around. So don't hold your team hostage. Don't screw your teammates. Don't screw Brady and everybody else because, you can't decide whether or not you want to retire.
Thoughts on that, folks? Is there anything new on the Twitter feed there, Murray? What was the one? Was there one yesterday that you mentioned to me?
Oh, yeah. He had posted a video of Serena Williams. Let me bring this up here.
Can you paraphrase what you told me? I mean, there was one little thing that you read into, right?
Yeah, and it was a line from Serena Williams. It's a Nike video called Until We All Win. Gronkowski tweeted the video and said, hashtag Until We All Win. It's a 30-second Nike commercial. But I got to find the line because I looked for the interview for Serena Williams talking about this video when they posted because it's, you know, this big thing. And it has to do with, like, you know, don't put yourself in a box. This isn't what you're only going to be known for. You know, she's obviously, you know, one of the greatest tennis players and women's tennis players of all time. But she wants to be known for more than that. So maybe I read this as Gronk saying, I'm more than a football player. I could be a wrestler. I could be a Hollywood star.
So then retire.
This is the kind of game that you're talking about.
Yes, then retire. Walk away. Walk away. And then otherwise, just say, you know, don't say anything and start negotiating with the team in a contract. And then if they don't bring you, like, I'm half inclined, I know, and I acknowledge that this would be an emotional response. But if I'm the team, I'm half inclined at this stage to say, dude, we need an answer Monday. We need an answer Monday. Today's Wednesday. You let us know on Monday. If the answer is you don't want to play, we're moving on without you. You decide. Because we're not going to have you hold us hostage. And if you think that means we're going to cut you, we're not. You can't go play for anybody else because you're under contract with us. So decide. Decide now and don't play this stupid-ass game.
I just think that would ring hollow, though, because they know how important he is to this team and to Tom Brady. And he's in a rare situation where I think the WWE thing is legitimately real. I mean, he's proven it before just with the little spots that he's done. So how many times have guys... you know, feel like they have a team over the barrel, or yeah, they'll hold out, but what are they really going to do without playing in the league? You don't really have any other options. Gronkowski actually does, you know? So I think he's the one that is actually in the driver's seat here.
So and Murray, he might be, but what I'm saying is if you're the team, you can't let him be. And listen, I want to make this part of it clear. I want them to sign him. I want them to pay him. But if I'm on the other side of it, looking at this going, you know, this is stupid. Are we going to do this every year now? Is that what this is? Every year we have to redo your contract because you're unhappy? So I would reach a point eventually where I would say, and then if Brady bitches about it, I'd say, hey, Tom, look, Is he playing or not? Then we'll talk about the contract. If he's playing, we'll talk about the contract. If he's not, then there's no need to talk about the contract. See you later.
You're getting sick of the tweets. You're getting sick of the game.
I just think he's monkeying around.
Keep your eye on the Twitter feed. In fact, what does Sarge have on that, Jimmy? Doesn't Sarge have something?
Here you go. New at this hour, Rob Gronkowski tweeting out moments ago, quote, "Foresee your own future, control your own temptations, and your destiny will be not just..." Let me say it again.
Yeah, please do.
"And your destiny will be not just be reached. It will be starting. And your destiny will be not just be reached. It will just..."
Yeah, just whatever. We got it. So yeah. Did Gronk open a fortune cookie and just tweet it out?
So you're saying you're getting a little sick of that sort of stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just getting sick of the game playing. I have no tolerance for this sort of thing. He's had weeks, months, and years to think about his future. He is not, you know, laboring, thinking about, geez, what should I do? Should I retire? Like, which way should I go? He's not doing that. He knows. He knows exactly what he's doing.
The line just from, whatever. We got it.
The line from Serena Williams is, "We shouldn't be made to feel like we need to fit into the same box." So again, this could be Gronk tweeting this out, saying to the world,
"These
I'm
are
not
all
just a football player."
So Sarge say these are all just a fortune.
Did Gronk open a fortune cookie and just tweet it out?
These are all fortune cookie sayings.
Fine, then walk. If you don't want to be boxed, then walk. That's fine. I would have respect for that.
Please do.
But this whole thing of holding the team hostage, like, at some point, I'm sorry, I turn the page and I start to say, another season is coming. What are they going to do? How are they going to fix it? And Gronk is not helping the cause right now. He's not. So you want more money. I get it. If you want more money, yes, become a sheep. That's right. I'd rather he be a sheep in this case. I want the guy signed. I believe he's going to get paid. But this whole retirement thing, if you're going to retire, pull the plug and move on. So the rest of us can get on with our lives. Can we do that?
Whatever. We got it.
So you're not... Wait, you don't want to hear this sort of stuff again?
Foresee your own future, control your own temptations, and your destiny will be not just... Let me say it again.
Yeah, please do.
You're saying that's getting a little old?
Yeah. I mean, Pac-Man was getting sick of it in about 15 seconds.
Oh, no. Baby.
Please do.
Wanted to pile drive poor Sarge.
Oh, my gosh. We hate this game.
Just whatever. We got it.
When anybody else plays it, we hate this game. We hate it. We hated it when Favre did it. We hated it when Doc Rivers did it. We should hate it when Gronk does it. He's holding them hostage, and if I'm them, I issue an ultimatum. You get 4 days. Today's Wednesday. You get till Monday. Because by the middle of next week, we got to make decisions.
Let's follow up on this.
Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Harkins skates ahead right side. Now he'll twirl back. Lets his two teammates go in front of him. He'll poke it along the near side. Puck hit the linesman, so it's free to the Bruins. Over the line, near side, now Riley Nash, near circle, into the slot, Krug shoots, Howard the same, rebound, backhand, they score! How about Brad Marchand? Make it a hat trick, make it the game winner, make it a sweep over the Red Wings, 6-5 Bruins over the Red Wings in overtime!
I mean, no matter who you take out of the lineup, whether it's 8-4 over the Penguins, 6-5, 3-1, like whatever it is, it's impressive.
Whether they play well, don't play well, whether they play offensively, defensively, whether they play their starting goalie or their backup, whether they have two of their best players or not, home, road, weekend, weekday, they just freaking keep winning.
Boy, they wanted to give that game away last night, too.
I think last night's game means very, very little. Nothing. Like, I can't glean much from it. I just can't. You're up 2-0 inside of 37 seconds or whatever it was. And it just was a goofy night against a team that's playing for nothing. You're down your two best players. It gets loose immediately. And it's like, that was the furthest thing from a playoff kind of game that you're ever going to get. Like, I just don't know what to get out of that game. I mean, Brad Marchand's a bad man. Kid's absolutely on fire.
He's ridiculous is what he is. He's ridiculous.
Brad Marchand, do you understand the kind of year he's had? He has 66 points in 51 games.
Yep.
66 points in 51 games is a 106-point pace on an 82-game schedule. So he's not going to play a full season, and he's probably not going to get to 100 points, most likely. But 66 points in 51 games equates to a 106-point pace. He has 28 goals, which paces to 45. He's plus 31. And that's an archaic stat like RBI. I'm sorry, Corsi kids, for bringing the plus-minus up, but he's plus 31. But 106-point pace. When was the last Bruin to have 106? Or what was the last Bruin to have a 100-point season? Anyone? Who wants a free book? A free signed Tales from the Patriots sideline for the first one to tell me who and what year was the last Bruin, Jimmy Stewart, what Bruin had the last 100-point season?
Is it Mark Savard?
Not according to my research.
Was it Glenn Murray?
Which should always be double-checked. It's not Glenn Murray, but you should double-check this. I looked it up today.
Adam Oates.
Good guess, but there was someone after him.
Joe Thornton.
He was going to be my first guess, believe it or not.
Joe Thornton. And there's and what year? This is a trick question.
Oh, so he was half in San Jose that year. So that doesn't count.
So then fine. Joe Thornton, 101 points in 2003 for the Boston Bruins. The last time a Bruin, start to finish. So if you take out Thornton in 06 when he went to San Jose and won the Hart, that was a good one. The last wire-to-wire Bruin to have a 100-point season was Joe Thornton in 2003, 15 years ago. Those don't grow on trees anymore, especially around here. And if Marchand had just, you know...
So wait, I'm confused. Was that the year he got traded?
No. Thornton got traded in 06.
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha.
Thornton had 125 points in 06 between Boston and San Jose.
Doesn't count.
Okay, so if that doesn't count, then Thornton's 101-point season in 2003 was the last one. Adam Oates had 112 in 94. And then if you want to go back further, Joe Junot had 102 in 93. So then you're not getting into a whole other era when the puck actually went in the net and people scored. But Marchand is having the kind of year, 106-point pace. No one's done that in 15 years. And, you know, Stu, would you just double-check that for me? I think that's what. I think it's Thornton, his Hart year that he went to San Jose, or then 2003. I looked up a bunch of other years, and I didn't see another 100-point season for the Bruins. So that's what I think. But there's always a yeah but on this show. Can I give the yeah but with Brad Marchand?
Sure.
Okay, so he's pacing for 106-point pace this year. Again, he has 66 points in 51 games. That's over a point a game, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's like 1.2.
Last year, he had 85 points in 80 games, over a point a game. Do you know what he's done in his last 18 playoff games?
Well, I know that 2 years ago, he had zero. I think he's got like 6 goals in his last 47 playoff games or something.
He has 1 goal in his last 18 playoff games.
Okay, so there you go.
He has 1 goal and 9 points in his last 18 playoff games. So in the last 2 regular seasons, he's over a point a game, well over a point a game. In his last 2 playoff years, so this is the last year and then the playoff year before. So in his last 2 playoff years, a good way to look at it, he's half a point a game and 1 goal. So they need this in the postseason for Marchand. It's been a while since he's been that guy in the postseason.
No question. And you know what? Fluto sort of touched on this today a little bit, too. Like, you know, this is where you got to be careful if you're Marchand. Playoffs are coming up. You've been suspended how many times? You got bounced 5 games earlier in the year. Don't do anything stupid in the next month and be ready to go come playoff time, because you got to put some numbers up in the playoffs. Like, it was a great point. Like, for as good as he is.
So Fluto wrote that. Didn't see that.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I think of. You know, he was huge, Marchand was, in the Stanley Cup year in 2011. Huge. Huge in that final series.
He had 9 goals that postseason.
So he was terrific. And since then, he really haven't seen him in the postseason. Even that 13 run, he was scoreless in the finals against the Blackhawks. Donuts. Did you just say that?
No, I told you, though, that his last 41 playoff games, the equivalent of a half season, he's got 6 goals.
So wrapped into that, I think that includes that. So in 13, he didn't do much, and his last 2 playoff runs have been pretty much little, not much.
So name me a better goal scorer in the last 3 years other than Ovechkin.
In the league?
Yeah.
Well, so I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Okay, I do.
I mean, if I just say pure goal scoring, I would put Stamkos right there.
Okay, so I'll just give you this quickly because I trapped you a little. Ovechkin has 123 goals the last 3 years. Tarasenko, 105. Kane, 104. Marchand, 104.
I see.
He's right there with the other. The only guy that's head and shoulders above is Ovechkin. And I would argue that difference is largely on the power play, because he gets half of his goals on the power play, for crying out loud. So, you know, again, other than Ovechkin, he's right there with everyone else.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The player, and last night was his 11th overtime goal.
Would you put him in the class of Patrick Kane and Steven Stamkos and those kind of players?
Not quite.
Right? I mean, how could you?
But in terms of the production?
He's right there.
That's ridiculous.
So it's time to do it in the postseason. That's the yeah, but. Time to do that in the postseason. Are you recording that, Bruins? Why don't you record that? Play that for him. See if we can get some motivation out of it. It's time to do it in the postseason, Marshmont. Okay? Half-point game. Half-point-a-game guy in the playoffs. Over-point-a-game guy in the regular season. It's time to even those numbers out. Here's Doug in Dover on the Bruins. Hi, Doug.
Hey, guys. Sorry to interrupt the Patriots radio network, but I wanted to get your opinion on Chara because... Delgar, every time I call in and I complain about Chara, what a horrible player he is, you always stick up to him. You have some kind of love affair with this guy. But last night, I wanted your comment on
he had a bad night.
Trying to skate backwards, falling it down, letting a goal go in, and then going back to the bench and sitting there like he's in La La Land.
He had a rough night, Doug, but I think he's worth defending. I think he's had a really good year. I think he's a really good player for you. And... I think he was overrated there for a stretch, you know. I think he was overrated here for a stretch, but I think we're now in a part of his career where he's properly rated. He's no longer a top five, top ten defenseman. He's sort of in that next rung down, and he's used more specialized on defense in just defensive situations. And I think he's been healthy and out there and a factor for you every night. And I think what he did, I mentioned this the other day, the fight that he took in that Would they play in the Pittsburgh game? The fight he took in the Pittsburgh game was terrific. And so I don't think Char deserves much criticism. He had a rough night last night, and he probably missed McAvoy. Why wouldn't he? McAvoy's their best defenseman. So we got paired with Carlo. The game got goofy, and those guys couldn't keep up. That definitely happened last night. But on my list of issues, my list of concerns with the team going into the playoffs, Char's not on that list. Sorry, he's just not.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.